Okay, welcome back once again to another Throttle Up Radio show and podcast. I'm your host, Captain Kevin Smith, and I am glad to be here. Thank you for listening. Now, we are a radio show on Red State Talk Radio on the weekends. We're a weekend show on this great radio station that we call Red State Talk Radio. Now, just as a reminder, we are on the Encore or the Justice Channel, 6 p.m. Eastern, Saturdays and Sundays, and we are on the Main or Liberty Channel at 7 p.m. Both Saturdays and Sundays. We are also a podcast as well. You can find us if you wish to access the podcast. And, of course, I encourage that, even if you have listened to the radio show, because there's some pretty good stuff that bears repeating. You get the podcast on throttleupradio.com as well as iTunes. You can go to both places and get the podcast. And on our website, throttleupradio.com, you can you have the whole kit and caboodle, all of the podcasts that we've ever done over the many years that we have been engaged in this Throttle Up show. And it's been quite an honor for us to do this, to do the show every week, mostly. Now, having said that, we do take some time off. There is important things that we do during, particularly during the holiday season. We did have a repeat last week because we did take some time off for Thanksgiving, and we were involved in visiting family, and that was a good thing to do. So we did that. Now we're back on our regular sequence of shows, and this show, of course, is all about the truth algorithm. We're doing this because it needs to be done. Because we are confronting things in our lives and in this world that are unprecedented, and we need not to just sit back and take it. We need to be active, even proactive. We need to take a stand and present ourselves to the world and to all government officials that we are sovereign beings. We deserve to be treated with respect, and we will not tolerate being lied to. Okay, that's particularly important, and you can write that down. I would say that for all of us here dealing with us, all of us that are listening to this show, in this podcast, write this down in your diary. Write this down in your special book. We will not tolerate being lied to anymore. Period. All right. It needs to be stated emphatically. And that's the whole point of the show. We are going to discuss that in terms of its implication in the real world, what we can do about it. And we can utilize our intellect to help us clarify what is true and what is not true. That is the whole point of this truth algorithm. Now, the conventional wisdom is, unfortunately, and I'm going to be a little bit emphatic here on this show because it really is time to stop mincing words and get right to the point. You know, I've been thinking about this for a while. You know, I need to make sure that I get right to the point so as to not to waste your time as the listeners, and also to make it clear of what is really important for all of us as we confront this sea of misinformation and propaganda. All right, so let's get right to the point, which is that we have got to open up our intellect to embrace innovative ideas such that we are not, we do not need to wait for further evidence. We do not need to endlessly wait. We can be decisive in our lives. Decisiveness is extremely important. You know, of course, it was really a key to success in some of the things that I have done and continue to do in this life. Decisiveness is very important, all right? And we can use our intellect to immediately examine whether or not something that claims to be true is in fact true, or is it a lie. In many cases, we are being confronted with what has often been called the big lie. The big lie is something that we are being bombarded with on a regular basis. This show is going to be examining that very, very carefully. We have a great show in store for us, for all of you, and I encourage you to stick with me, because this is going to be an exceptionally important show with respect to the truth algorithm. Now, I'm going to present some things here that are clearly outside the box. This is outside the mainstream of thought. Mainstream of thought, to me, is a bit boring. And, you know, if you want to do that, if you're comfortable with the mainstream of thought, there's lots and lots of places you can go to hear that kind of stuff. If you're here listening to Throttle Up radio show and podcast, then obviously you are not comfortable with the mainstream of thought. We present things that are outside the box. We present the unconventional. We present the stuff that comes from the field of critical thinking. We encourage all of us to be able to think critically and make that a priority in our lives. Once we have that foundation firmly established, once we are on solid ground when it comes to critical thinking, then we can use that as a springboard to help us get into this arena, which we call the truth algorithm. The truth algorithm is, in fact, designed to help us determine with a high degree of confidence whether or not a claim that, whether or not something that is claimed to be true is in fact true, notwithstanding the fact that maybe it comes from some so-called expert, or maybe it comes from some so-called group of experts. That does not necessarily mean that it is true. Okay. It could very well mean that it is propaganda. And it could very well mean that this is another example of double-down lying. Because if somebody says, well, you know, the CDC says this, or this group of experts say that, and so forth and so on, and maybe that assertion is actually not true. How do we know that? Okay, how do we know the expert who is invoking other experts, or the spokesperson who is invoking other experts, how do we know that that is true? Do we just take that for granted, or do we say, I'm going to be skeptical here. I'm going to wear the cloak of skepticism. You're not going to be able to convince me just because you say some such and such expert or group of experts or some organization is claiming this or claiming that. That's not going to work. Is it objectively true? Is it justified in what you are saying? Is it a justified true belief? Do we actually have objective information available to us to determine whether or not this is true or whether or not this is not true? Now, keep in mind, as we go forward, we do have to acknowledge the environment that we are living in. I've said this many, many times. I'm going to continue to say it. We have to acknowledge the environment that we are living in. This is not, none of this stuff comes to us in a vacuum. None of it. Everything that we are being given, everything that we are being told, comes to us within the context of the environment that we are living in. What is this environment that we are living in right now? We are living in an environment that is hostile to reason. That's the environment. It is characterized by censorship on a huge scale. It is characterized by the big lie. It is characterized by misinformation. It is characterized by information warfare. And the list goes on and on. Basically, this is not normal. We are living in a world, we're living in an environment that is not normal. It is unprecedented in its scale and scope of the level of deception. The level of deception is running very, very deep. We have to recognize that. Given that particular situation that we find ourselves in, we are not hopeless at all. We can, in fact, very, very effectively fight back and defeat this propaganda machine. We can stop it dead in its tracks. How do we do that? We do that by employing the weapon of choice in this information warfare battle. Our weapon of choice is, in fact, the truth algorithm. The truth algorithm is the means by which we are not dead in the water. We can fight back immediately whenever we hear or encounter something that may very well be propaganda. It may very well be something that's masquerading as the truth, but it is actually not true. It is a bunch of lies. It could be a big lie or a series of big lies. And it is something that that we can confront immediately upon hearing it. We just pull out the truth algorithm. If you don't know what it is, we have been talking about it for some time, and we're going to be continuing to talk about it for some time to come. Now, the truth algorithm has some fundamental aspects to it that are not particularly well understood, and that's only it's not because the truth algorithm is not worthwhile. It is. The truth algorithm is, in fact, a marvelous piece of analytical material. It is based upon a mathematical theorem, and this theorem has proven its worth over the course of about 200 years. So the truth algorithm contains a very solid mathematical basis for its existence. And that ought to give us confidence in what we are about to do as well as what we are doing. All right, we are mathematically rigorous in our efforts and in our concerted efforts to defeat this propaganda machine and stop it dead in its tracks. Keep this in mind. Propaganda only works if you have unsuspecting, willing receivers of it. Remember, this is very, very important. Those that are perpetrating lies, masquerading as the truth, which is also called propaganda, those people who are originating that actually know that it is not true. They know that, okay? They want you not to know that, okay? That's how it works. That's the only way it can work, is that you actually believe something is in fact true that is not true. That's the only way it can work. If in fact the receiver, you and me, the consumer of this propaganda, if in fact we believe it, then propaganda has a pathway by which it can achieve its desired results. If we don't believe it, then we open the circuit, we short circuit it. Propaganda then dies on the vine. It doesn't go anywhere, has no meaningful effect on anyone or anything. We can stop it dead in its tracks, not by stopping it at source. It will dry up once it fails to have any effect. That's not the problem. The problem is with us, the receiver. Are we going to accept this, or are we going to stand up and be intellectually strong and say, no, I'm not going to believe this. I'm sorry. Right? You're telling me something that is simply not that I have a hard time believing it's true. I'm going to look at it objectively, and I'm going to conclude that this is not worth believing it is true, because it is likely not to be true and most certainly will not ever be true. All right, just stick with me on this. This is a little bit complicated, but I promise to do my best in examining and exploring it. First of all, what is truth? Here we have to be very, very careful and very emphatic that we clarify what we mean by what is true. What is true? And how does the truth algorithm work? The truth algorithm works first and foremost by clarifying what is true. What is the truth? Truth exists, and truth is real. Truth exists in a quantum field of reality in which key aspects of such a reality interact with one another to form an environment that can be identified as real. Our world is at once marvelous but surprisingly difficult to comprehend. And why is that? Our ability to comprehend has been somehow truncated because we have been encouraged, we have been taught, we have been instructed, we have been encouraged to emphasize the singularity of things. As Stanislaus Lem, did I pronounce that right? No, my audio engineer doesn't know either. I'm doing my best here. Stanislaus Lem is a famous author, all right, the author of the book Solaris. He points out that, among other things, humans that have not been trained to think critically are capable of taking in very few things at a time and only see that which is occurring in front of us in the moment. Okay. The truth algorithm does not employ this logic. The truth algorithm believes that the truth is not a standalone thing, but connects itself with other things that are real. Okay, so this connectivity, I think I said that right, and interaction is crucial in our understanding of how the truth algorithm works. We will then use that attribute of reality to help us clarify whether or not this assertion is in fact true. Okay. Truth builds upon itself, creating that which is beneficial. Things that are not true are falsifications of reality, creating in its path destruction. The truth exists in a quantum field that manifests reality. All right, now, here I'm going to stop and say that, no, I have not gone off the rails. No, Kevin is not completely bonkers. All right, this is valid stuff. You have to be able to embrace this notion that our reality is very much akin to the quantum field theory of things. Okay, our existence is predicated on the idea and the proposition that we live in a reality that has potentiality to manifest beneficial things. Our reality is very much a quantum reality. It complies or corresponds to the quantum field understanding of things. Once we recognize that, then we can understand that things are interconnected. Everything is interconnected. So a specifically defined objective truth is in fact interconnected with something else or a number of other things that support it. So there is this conceptual structure. That is the fundamental basis of the truth algorithm. The fundamental basis is that this assertion doesn't stand alone but is supported by other assertions, or it is not supported by other assertions that relate to it in some form or fashion. Okay, now, we got a lot to cover. Here I want to show an example. Here we're going to have an example of what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to be playing an audio clip that comes from, where does it come from? It comes from Good Morning America, okay? And this is an audio-video clip. And this is very important here because we're going to demonstrate exactly what propaganda looks like. Exactly what does it look like? We've talked a lot about it over the course of many of these Throttle Up Radio shows and many of our efforts to explain the truth algorithm, but what exactly are we confronting here? We are confronting a very concerted effort to deliver us propaganda, to promote the big lie. We're going to listen to this, and we're going to dissect it so that we can understand what we are confronted with, and therefore how do we respond to something like this. This is a classic case of government-fed propaganda. It could not be better. This is going to be, it ought to be required listening and required examination for anyone who is engaged in a pursuit of critical thinking. And remember, the truth algorithm emerges from the field of critical thinking. That's how it comes about. That's why it's here, is because certain people can think critically and have come up with solutions that do not appear to be obvious, but they are. Okay, so let us go ahead. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to listen to this short audio clip. It's also a video clip. We're going to listen to it. It's 2 hours and two minutes. My audio engineer corrected me. 2 minutes and about 40 seconds. Now, we're going to listen to it nonstop, okay, the first time. The second time we're going to listen to it, we're going to stop it, I think, at four times through this process. And we're going to point out things about it that I want to highlight so that you can understand what we are talking about and what we are dealing with respect to the truth algorithm. The truth algorithm is, and the concepts behind it, is going to really help us to understand the scope and the depth of the propaganda that we are being fed. It's really preposterous. I know. Yeah, you're gonna come away with this by saying this simply is not possible that it is occurring. Well, it is. All right. So let's go ahead and run this nonstop first, and then we're going to examine it by running it again, and we're going to stop it here for about four times to make some key observations and points.
COVID-19 vaccine and pregnant people, what do you need to know? Data from the beginning of this pandemic show us that pregnant people face higher rates of complication, not infection from COVID-19, but if they do become infected, higher rates of complications requiring ICU admission, ventilatory support or intubation, being put on a breathing machine, higher rates of preterm delivery. That, of course, has its own subsequent set of risk factors for the fetus and for the newborn. I've spoken to the director of the CDC, the FDA, the head of ACOG's vaccine division, also the Maternal Fetal Medicine Society in this country, and the American Academy of Pediatrics, all unanimously recommending that people who are pregnant be vaccinated against COVID-19. Pregnant women were not initially enrolled in clinical trials. That is to err on the side of caution. However, all three vaccine manufacturers right now in the United States, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and Moderna, were, of course, tracking whether people became pregnant in the course of clinical trials. They learned that there were zero safety signals, significant safety issues amongst people who were pregnant who had been vaccinated against COVID-19. And then, as we started having real-world data and evaluating that data, we found that people who were vaccinated against COVID-19 during pregnancy and then went on to give birth, that their newborns had levels of COVID-19 antibodies that had been passed during pregnancy in utero. The vaccine does not affect fertility. There is no biologic or scientific pathway for that to happen. If someone is pregnant and they qualify for a booster, those boosters or initial COVID vaccines can be given in all three trimesters, and they can also be given if a woman is breastfeeding. The bottom line is, if you are pregnant, if you are considering becoming pregnant, speak to your obstetrician, speak to your midwife about how to make this decision for you. The fact of the matter is that there are many people who are considered high risk for COVID-19 even before becoming pregnant. And then when you look at the risks of certain high risk populations in pregnancy, if you add or layer pregnancy on top of that, you can have an incredibly high risk situation.
Okay, so that is a this is a classic piece of propaganda. Okay, now is it now? What the reason I'm saying that is because I've done my own thoughtful analysis here, and I have concluded, utilizing the truth algorithm and other aspects of critical thinking, that this thing is 100% propaganda. Now we're going to dissect it, and the reason for that is because I don't want you to take my word for it. We're going to dissect this, and we're going to take a look at it very, very carefully. Now, we're going to run it through again, but we're going to stop it at key places. So let's go ahead. I'm talking to my audio engineer. Let's go ahead and run this thing through again for, and we'll stop it at some at four key places where we will then make some comments.
COVID-19 vaccine and pregnant people, what do you need to know? Data from the beginning of this pandemic show us that pregnant people face higher rates of complication, not infection from COVID-19, but if they do become infected, higher rates.
Okay, the first thing, not from getting infected. Keep that in mind. Now, this is mixing words here. This is obfuscating the truth, all right? People who are pregnant, women, by the way, this says people, but I'm going to use the old term here, and I will use it without apology. Women who get pregnant, who are pregnant, by the way, and that's a marvelous thing. Women who are pregnant and are involved in producing life, they are usually take very, very good care of themselves, and their chances of getting infected are extremely low, most likely lower than the normal population. All right, let's continue.
...of complications requiring ICU admission, ventilatory support or intubation, being put on a breathing machine, higher rates of preterm delivery. That, of course, has its own subsequent set of risk factors for the fetus and for the newborn. I've spoken to the director of the CDC, the FDA, the head of ACOG's vaccine division, also the Maternal Fetal Medicine Society in this country, and the American Academy of Pediatrics, all unanimously recommending that people who are pregnant be vaccinated against COVID-19. Pregnant women were not initially enrolled in clinical trials.
Okay, women were not enrolled in clinical trials. Keep that in mind. That's what has been said here. Okay, they're kind of glossing over that thing, but that is, in fact, part of this propaganda machine. They gloss over the obvious showstoppers. They give it, they don't give it the proper emphasis. That is a showstopper. Why is it a showstopper? The fact that there is no clinical trials means there's no valid scientific information out there consistent with the experimental nature of the vaccine. Are you going to administer an experimental vaccine to a pregnant mother that has never been properly examined through clinical trials, which is a very formal, methodical process by which we identify safety factors? Let's continue.
That is to err on the side of caution. However, all three vaccine manufacturers right now in the United States, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and Moderna, were, of course, tracking whether people became pregnant in the course of clinical trials. They learned that there were zero safety signals, significant safety issues amongst people who were pregnant who had been vaccinated against COVID-19. And then, as we...
Okay. That does not appear to be correct. There has been just released a report under a court order that demonstrates that that statement is factually untrue. There have been quite a few safety-related issues with respect to pregnant mothers.
We started having real-world data and evaluating that data. We found that people who were vaccinated against COVID-19 during pregnancy and then went on to give birth, that their newborns had levels of COVID-19 antibodies that had been passed during pregnancy in utero. The vaccine does not affect fertility. There is no biologic or scientific pathway for that to happen.
That does not also appear to be true. That seems to be factually incorrect if you look at some of the information. Notwithstanding the fact that maybe we don't know, they're making a lot of assertions here that may or may not be true, and we need to be skeptical.
If someone is pregnant and they qualify for a booster, those boosters or initial COVID vaccines can be given in all three trimesters, and they can also be given if a woman is breastfeeding. The bottom line is, if you are pregnant, if you are considering becoming pregnant, speak to your obstetrician, speak to your midwife about how to make this decision for...
How to make this decision. What they're saying here is that you still need to make a decision, but they're glossing over that requirement and not giving you enough support to make a viable decision. Everything is biased in one direction. How do you make a decision when everything is biased in one direction?
For you, the fact of the matter is that there...
Okay. Now, we've done our due diligence on this. I have one more audio clip to play, which relates to this truth algorithm discussion and relates to what is being presented to us that may in fact not be true. And in this, with respect to this medical establishment that we're dealing with, this is from Dr. Berg. He has a YouTube channel. I would highly recommend his stuff to anyone who wants to gain knowledge about certain aspects of health and well-being. So let's play this.
I have a little secret I want to share with you related to health. If you want to be healthy, just find out what conventional medicine is all agreeing on and do the exact opposite. Because what you've been told about health is actually the opposite of what the truth is. And a lot of times these experts in these institutions are like sacred cows. They're above criticism. You're not supposed to criticize them because then you're opposing science. But unfortunately, our health has become very, very political. And some of the information that I'm going to share with you today comes from the website NHS. This is the National Health Services from the UK. They get 50 million visitors every single month. I mean, it just blows me away. Well, at least they're transparent. Because if you look at the board of directors and you see their affiliations, quite a few of them are affiliated with drug companies. All right, let's get to the list. Number one, everything in moderation. There is no bad food. Healthy eating is all about balance. Have you ever heard that before? Now, the problem with that statement is that it gives each food equal importance. And so what you're saying is there's no real significant difference between a candy bar and kale or wild-caught salmon and a Twinkie. As long as you keep everything in moderation, you'll be healthy. I'm sorry, this is just complete and utter stupidity. Certain foods are way more healthier than others, and you don't want to do a moderate diet where you're having a little bit of everything. That has been the problem. When you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet and you're just going to have a little bit of everything, you're not going to be able to get healthy. There's too many options for the wrong thing. And you want to be able to differentiate the high carb from the low carb. The way to get healthy is not to balance your calories. It's to be able to differentiate the healthier foods from the unhealthy. So it's a very unbalanced diet. All right, number two, make sure you don't skip your meals and definitely never skip breakfast. Now, I used to recommend this in my first book. I don't recommend it anymore. I found that if you skip breakfast, you will become very, very healthy. And the reason that they say this, you have to have regular meals, is to somehow prevent snacking later in the day. This is actually very deadly advice because every time you eat, you spike insulin. And the majority of the population has way too much insulin because of the frequent meals. We want to skip meals. In fact, skipping meals is one of the healthiest things you can ever do, especially if you skip breakfast. The big problem that people have is the frequency of eating. Our bodies were not designed to eat so darn frequently. It's very, very unnatural, and it's extremely unhealthy. In fact, I would say it's the worst thing you can do for your health. All right, number three, the only way to lose weight is to eat less calories than you burn. You want to create an energy deficit. Calories in equals calories out. I'm sorry, if I hear that again, I'm going to vomit. This is like so outdated. We know it doesn't work. People have tried this for decades. And again, whoever came up with this is not differentiating the different type of calories. Certain calories are greatly affected by certain hormones, yet other calories are affected differently. In fact, insulin, the main hormone that makes you fat, is greatly affected by carbs, yet it's not affected at all by pure fat. Pure fat does not trigger insulin. Now, with protein moderately affects insulin. So carbs have a major spike in insulin. Protein is a moderate, and fat is zero. And if you're trying to lose weight and trying to be healthy, the goal is to keep your insulin as low as possible. So these experts that are pushing this calories in, calories out, obviously have not worked with any real patients for any period of time, because if they did, they would go out of business. As soon as you start using this principle with any significant amount of people, you're not going to get any results. All right, number four, the low fat, the fat-free, the lean protein, consume less saturated fats, consume less cholesterol, because we all know that cholesterol is bad for the heart. Well, we know this has finally been disproven, and we've been trying to do the fat-free thing forever. It doesn't work. What happens when you go low fat is you just replace it with the carbohydrates. Consuming saturated fats is totally healthy as long as you keep your carbs low. And the thing about cholesterol is that if we were to evaluate the cholesterol in your body right now, 75% of it is made by your own body. Only 25% of the cholesterol in your bloodstream right now comes from diet. When you eat less, your body makes more. When you eat more, your body makes less. If you have high cholesterol in your bloodstream, it's not linked to heart disease. And the American Heart Association has acknowledged that, but it's buried in the guidelines. It's not necessarily promoted. In fact, when you go low fat, you dry up your bile in your gallbladder, and then you're at risk for gallstones. In fact, when you have very, very lean protein and low fat protein, you start to spike insulin a lot more. All right, number five, and this is what everyone knows is true. High salt diets are very, very dangerous to the heart, because everyone knows a high salt diet causes high blood pressure, when in fact, that's absolutely positively not true. There's some fascinating data that's kind of embarrassing for the medical profession. It's a very, very large, credible study. I'll put it down below, that proves that when you go on a low salt diet, you're at more risk for heart disease than if you add more salt. So at a very bare minimum, even people with high blood pressure need to be consuming at least a tablespoon of sea salt every single day. And I'm talking about sea salt, not table salt. Table salt is a refined product, and they're even finding particles of plastic in table salt. There's aluminum in it. Sometimes they add sugar. So always consume high quality sea salt. And as far as blood pressure goes, instead of lowering your salt, increase your potassium. So even though your salt is a little bit higher, if you have enough potassium, you'll have the right ratios and your blood pressure will do much better. All right, number six, here's one of those everyone knows. Everyone knows that obesity is a health risk and you need to lose weight so you can become healthy. When in fact, a lot of people that are trying to lose weight, that lose weight, gain it right back. And a lot of them end up destroying the metabolism because out of anything, the frequent dieting over and over and over literally slows your metabolism down to a snail's pace. So just because someone is losing weight doesn't necessarily mean they're any healthier. Let's say, for example, you lose weight on certain appetite suppressants, or you're losing weight with some low calorie, poor quality type nutrients. You may lose weight temporarily, but you're going to rebound and you're not going to look healthy as you lose weight. It doesn't really solve the problem of weight loss. So the truth is, get healthy, then lose weight. The weight loss comes as a natural consequence of creating health. Truly healthy people don't accumulate weight. All right, number seven, the brain prefers carbohydrates and glucose. All right, this is also false. The brain actually prefers ketones. In fact, if you feed your brain carbs and glucose, you're going to end up potentially getting dementia, Alzheimer's. It's called diabetes type 3. Ketones bypass the damage in the brain caused by carbohydrates and feed the neurons directly. And this is why when someone gets on a ketogenic diet, their brain works so much better. Their mood is elevated. Their cognitive function, memory, focus, concentration all improve. In fact, if someone had Alzheimer's, the best diet they should be on is a ketogenic diet. If given the choice between glucose and ketones, if both glucose and ketones are in your blood, your brain will always pick a ketone before a glucose molecule. If you don't believe me, go ahead and get on a ketogenic diet and see how much better your brain feels. All right, number eight, you need to use vegetable oils instead of saturated fats. This advice has caused more heart disease, more problems with the eyes, more problems with diabetes, and more problems with inflammation than any other thing that I know. If you want macular degeneration, just start consuming a lot of omega-6 fatty acids. They're very pro-inflammatory. And vegetable oils sound really healthy, but we're not talking about extracting the oil out of your salad. We're talking about seed oils, okay? Grain seed oils. We're talking about genetically modified corn oil, soy oil, canola oil, cottonseed oil, all heavily sprayed with glyphosate. In fact, from my viewpoint, if you want arthritis, start consuming a diet high in omega-6 fatty acids. Instead, you should do more saturated fats in your cooking and in your food. As long as you keep your carbs low, you're going to be totally fine. All right, number nine, here's another really stupid piece of advice. Make sure you get your complex carbohydrates from whole grains. Now, first of all, I don't think I know anyone that's consuming the whole grains, okay? They usually do refined grains. Problem with grains is they have phytic acid, which blocks the absorption of certain minerals and trace minerals like zinc, which is very, very important. In fact, a very large percent of the population is zinc deficient because they're consuming too many grains. Grains spike insulin, and we already have a problem with insulin. So you want to avoid grains, not to mention the gluten in the grains that destroys your intestine, creating all sorts of inflammation, which can then increase your risk of autoimmune diseases, which originates from leaky gut. All right, and number 10, you don't really need vitamins as long as you eat a well-balanced diet. And I always want to see what people consider as being a well-balanced diet. It's that balanced, healthy diet that I talked about in number one, where you keep everything in moderation, don't skip any food groups. You know, when you think about the nutrient requirements that you need, like potassium, rarely does anyone consume enough vegetables to get their potassium. If you really look at it, a very small percent of the population will ever get close to potassium and even magnesium. And also, what about vitamin D? You can't get it from food. Very few people get outside and get out in the sun. So how are you going to get your vitamin D? And not to mention the food is so deficient in nutrients nowadays, especially if you compare it with food 20 years ago. So it is next to impossible to get your vitamins and minerals from your food. Unless you start growing your food yourself and you know how to do your own soils, it is very, very difficult to get your nutrients from food, even if you buy organic. And I will say this, there are so many things out there that were considered safe, healthy, that then we found out was not very safe. It wasn't very healthy. Take a look at the chemical DES that was given to women to prevent miscarriage until they found it started causing miscarriages in women, I think 40, 50 years ago. And then what about DDT? There was a commercial advertisement, DDT is good for me. And then it was banned in 1971. And then what about sugar? Sugar was actually promoted as something that was healthy. You can give it to babies. And now we know that's absolutely not true. What about smoking, right? That was considered okay to give a pregnant woman. Until now, we found that it's actually just the opposite. Now, what about trans fats in Crisco? It was promoted for, I think, 80 or 90 years until they found out, well, we found it wasn't quite healthy. Sorry. And then they banned it. And then we have...
Okay. We're almost done with that. We're running a little short of time. All right. So next week, we're going to be taking both pieces of evidence, video from GMA and then this one as well, plug it into the truth algorithm and see what that does for us. You notice here what I'm doing. I'm setting the stage for us to be very, very skeptical, notwithstanding the fact that maybe some of the stuff is coming to us by so-called experts. Maybe it is, in fact, not true. It could be a mistake. It could be intentional. I do think that the first audio clip we listened to, most of that misinformation is, in fact, intentional. That's rather chilling, I would say, at a place where it is almost impossible to believe. Okay, we are at the close of another Throttle Up Radio Show and podcast. Thank you for listening, and we will see you all next week.